grace, and it's through grace that you're saved. The next place I want you to go to is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Now, one of the things that always bothered me is a lot of people will get up and say the Lord's Prayer, and then I don't see them going ahead in their walk with the Lord. And I always wondered why. So let's read this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You have to have that genuineness of faith. You can't just say the words and expect that you're going to make heaven. Your faith has to be true. It has to be grounded. It has to be, just like Kelly's got this nice diamond ring. That's a real diamond. And it's genuine. Your faith is the same way. Is it genuine? Is it real? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, if it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should walk in those good works that he has prepared for us. So now that I've just kind of laid the basis of salvation, let's go to the witness. At the time of your salvation, you received the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the fullness of the Spirit or the infilling of the Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit that's with you as you walk through this life, that you talk to, that guides you, that leads you, that directs you. The possession of the Spirit is an identifying factor of the possession of salvation. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, even a saved person will do this, he's looking, the Father, Son, and the Spirit are looking to see, do you have the Holy Spirit? He's on the look. And he is able to tell if you have it or not. It's the seal of your salvation. Let's look at, now Jesus, he used this system and they used it back in his day, the witness. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 through 8. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. We're talking about being in heaven now. The Father, the Word, who's the Word? Angelo, who's the Word?
Jesus.
Yes, amen. The Word and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, the blood. These three agree to one, as one. So you have the earth witnesses, and you have the heavenly witnesses. They agree as one. Okay, when you go into a court to validate whether you committed a crime or if you're guilty or if you're not, witnesses are used. The same thing is used in heaven. So we have these witnesses, one of which is the Holy Spirit. The other one is the blood of Jesus. Have you been washed in the blood? The blood is a powerful thing. It's the thing that we obtain our salvation through. All right. And then the Father, are you in a relationship with the Father? Do you have a relationship? Okay, so those are the three witnesses. We must all appear before the judgment seat. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to Him. I don't know about you. I had a good earthly father. And Dwayne, my daddy, was so good. I wanted to please him. Just like your daughter or your children want to please you. I see that in them. They're trying to please you. You have a good father. Each one of us now as Christians have a good father. And it should be your aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we talked about the witness, the Holy Spirit. Do you have that as a seal? Do you have that as a part of you that you communicate with? Second, the will. That's your will. There are times that your will and God's will are in conflict. I'm going to be honest with you. I remember one time on the job, I forgot to have one of the ladies that I was doing an interview with. She lived about 100 miles from the office. I forgot to have her sign the Freedom of Choice form. You know that form that you get when you're at the doctor's office? And they have you sign it. And then you get a copy of it. You throw it away when you get home. That. So I had a choice. I called someone and I said, I forgot to have them sign that. What can I do? One said, well, just write their name. I thought, no, I ain't going to do that. And the other one said, well, you can mail it off. And I thought, I really don't want to do that. I made the mistake. I need to be honest about it. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I wrestled with that all night, Angel, because it would have been easy to write her name and not travel that 100 miles. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I thought, ooh, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I can't lie about that. So what did I do? The next morning, I called my boss, and I said, I forgot to have her sign that form, confidentiality form. She goes, what do you want to do, Millie? I said, I want to go back. I want to have her sign it in my presence. She says, you do it then. You do it. See, it's not always easy to do what's right. Did she look bad at me from that point on? No. She knew that no matter what on the job, I was going to have the integrity to do what was right. So there's a difference. So sometimes your will and God's will are in conflict. Let's look at Hebrews 10:10. One of the things that happens at the time of salvation, there's this process called, and it begins, you get a measure of it at the time of salvation, the process of sanctification. But that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So you do get that at the time of salvation. But it's a progressive work. Why? Because you have to crucify the flesh daily. Is that easy? Not always. Not always. Sanctification is, in the basic sense, to sanctify simply means to set apart for God's special use and purpose. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. It's an ongoing process. Notice that the Lord, when it's talking about Lord here, they're all caps. That means that is the covenant name of the Lord, Yahweh. That's the name he uses for his children that he sets apart in that covenant. Let's look at Galatians 5:24. 5:24 and 5:25. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Remember I told you about crucifying the flesh? With its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, like I told you, those simple things in life he concerns himself with, like going to Walmart and having to try to pick up a watermelon. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in the presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It takes work to be a Christian. It takes work to do what's right. All right. Now we talked about the witness. We talked about the will. Now the word. The word, also referred to as Jesus, also referred to as this word. The word in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let's take a look at that. We looked at that once before. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life. The life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's speaking of Jesus as the Word. The Bible, this Word, reveals God's character, his nature, his desire to his people, about his Son and his plan. It tells us that we're justified by faith. I'm going to try to hurry because I don't want to run out of time. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, justified by faith. 1 Peter 2 and 9, that you're a chosen generation. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. Since you have been purified, remember we're talking about sanctification and the Word, your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. This Word does not pass away. It will live and abide forever. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. Second Corinthians, there is, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You gain knowledge through the Word. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, if you were to look at Psalm 119, if you wanted to study more on the word, it basically gives you a list of what the word does for you. We'll not go through that. That would take another sermon. Number four, the work. We talked about Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. That is the one that has to do about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's look out at James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You're not saved by works, but it is an outcome of being a Christian walking with God. You will naturally want to work out His plan for you. And that involves works. I wrote down, to those who have genuine faith, who believe in Jesus Christ, the subsequent result of salvation is obedience. That's a hard thing. Sometimes it goes against our flesh. It's sometimes hard to stand up and give testimony. But that's what God, it helps our fellow Christians in the church to do that. The deeds or the work are outer reflections of an inner transformation. So what you do and what you say and how you work shows people what you really are inside. I know lots of times when Angela and I pray in the morning, we'll say, Lord, help me watch my mouth. Have me watch what I do. Have me do what you would have me do for today and not to do otherwise. Many profess to be Christians, but their lives and priorities indicate otherwise. You ever met someone and you know that they said that they were a Christian, but somehow how they talk, how they walk, how they live their lives doesn't line up with the word, and you wonder about that? Well, let me tell you something. If you talk like the world, if you walk like the world, if you dress like the world, if you look like the world, you are the world. Amen. Now, let's look at the walk. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, you're right, I just read this one, huh? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Go ahead and read it. Oh, she's got it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. In all your ways. That's a lot of ways. That's a daily walk, isn't it? He'll direct your path. You have to be cued in to what He's saying to you. Okay, now we were talking about in the walk. Now I'm just going to drift off for a minute, and I'm going to talk about my pet peeve. You ready for the pet peeve? All right. This is it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 14 through 18. Let me go over here for a minute. Dwayne, you're the church. Mike, you're the church. Sis, you're the church. You're the church. You're the church. You're the church. Even that one sleeping over there is the church, Brenda. Amen. Mary, you're the church. You're the church. Brother Jeremiah, you're the church. Amen. All of you are the church. Amen. All right. Now, when someone says something about Parish Christian Center, they're saying something about Dwayne, Mike, my sister there, Sophie, little one there, Angel, Brenda, Sleepy over there, Angelo, Millie, any one of us, they're talking about us. They're not talking about these four walls, Mary, that contain the church. They're talking about each one of us individually. Many years ago, there was a gentleman that went to this church. I went to work one day, and the lady that headed up the kitchen said, I know someone in your church. That person is a low-down scoundrel. They have a bad reputation. They're just awful. And then they told me their name. I said, that person doesn't go to our church. You must be talking about someone else. Now, there's someone with that name. That person, I think, passed away a long time ago. The other person is born again. And that person doesn't go to this church no more. All right. So, let's look. Did I read this yet? Nope. So, they said, some say John the Baptist. This is when Jesus is asking his disciples, who do they say I am? Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. The word Peter means rock, but it means a piece of the rock. You're a piece of the rock, Angelo. Frank, you're a piece of the rock. Kelly, you're a piece of the rock. Kaylee, Tommy, Jill, Sherry, all of you are a piece of the rock. The church is built on the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he redeemed us, that he saved us from sin. And now we are reconciled to God. That is what the church is built on. So here we go. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, now this rock that he's talking about right there, R-O-C-K, is the whole thing. The whole rock, not the piece, the whole rock. So we all gather here, and we become the rock on which the church is built on with the confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of the living God. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. All right, so the other place I want to go to, where it says the church, Kelly, that word that's between build and church in the last verse, what is that word? It's a two-letter word. My. Who is my? Sam, who's my? Jesus. Jesus Christ ordained and founded the church. So those people who say they don't have to go to church, Jesus founded the church. Does it make sense, does it, when they say that? All right. So then look at Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. chapter 4, verse 16. So we came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. That word custom means habit. It was his habit. It's my habit, Mike, to come to church on Sunday. I have the same habit that Jesus did. Isn't that wonderful, Dwayne? I have the same habit. I come on church on Wednesdays. I come on Sundays. I come when the doors are open. Not all people can do that, and that's okay. But let's be honest. Jesus founded the church. It was his habit. His habit should be your habit. I had a habit with Pepsi Zeros for a while. I had to break that habit. I only get to have one a day now. But this is a good habit. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Yes, it is. It is. So now you have some verses to go to when people say you don't have to go to church. Well, do you know that Jesus Christ himself ordained the church? You know, it was his habit to go to church. You know, he says it not to forsake the assembling of together. So now you've got some scriptures. And in closing, I want to look at Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, 8. I apologize to those people up there in the booth because I jumped around. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly. Do what's right, even when it's hard to do what's right. Do what's right. To love mercy, be forgiving, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That keeps you between the lines, doesn't it? Amen. I thank you for letting me bring this word. It was something I wasn't expecting to do because initially I thought this is just elementary, Lord. People know what they do after salvation. He said, no, not always. Preach it. I just thank you. Does anyone need prayer today? If you don't, it's fine with me. All right. Angela, you want to close, huh, with prayer? This is my spouse of almost 50 years.
Hallelujah. Congratulations. Well, Mel, that reminded me of Brother Autry. When I heard of Brother Autry, this is what they told me. If you go listen to him, he'll use at least 75 verses every message. Amen. And I listened. I count sometimes it was more like about 100. Let me tell you. Praise God, and she did all of that in 25 minutes.
I had 44 verses, but I didn't use them all. Are you guys thankful?
Don't come probably yet. Don't come left out.
But we love you. It's so good to be here with you. Cheryl, God bless you. How are you doing tonight? That's all right. Do you need prayer for anything? Does anybody know Diane Mann? Ann. That sounds better, Diane Ann. Thank you. Sam, why don't you stand up? Sam, go over there and take her by the hand and take this microphone.